Wisconsin Science Community Radio Talk Show. This is Michael James Lauren, your host, Ellis Lucas, a testimony that you're going to want to hear. Hard-pressed on every side, but not destroyed. The book is called The Potter and the Clay. You know, when we hear a testimony, and especially when it's on that show, Unshackled, you know, the television or the radio show, it's a powerful testimony. He joins us with his wife. Welcome.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for having us. It's an honor and a real pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you, Michael.
Our sponsors, with over 90 years' experience in developing audio electronics, Beyer Dynamics stands for innovative audio products with the highest sound quality and pioneering technology. Two business divisions, consumer and installation, provide tailored solutions for professional and private users. All products are developed in Germany and primarily manufactured by hand, from headphones to microphones and conference and interpretation systems. For more information, please visit north-america.beyerdynamic.com. And by Vocal Booth To Go, carries a complete line of products and accessories specifically designed for voiceover actors, audio professionals, podcasters, producers, and studio owners to help them get professional results for their clients. It's your go-to place for sound treatment, soundproofing, portable and mobile vocal booths. Visit VocalBoothToGo.com for more information. And by Hamilton Stands, founded in 1883 in Hamilton, Ohio, Hamilton Stands is the oldest music and instrument stand maker in the world. They offer a broad range of sheet music stands, band and orchestra instrument stands, and combo stands, including mic stands, guitar and keyboard stands, and accessories. In fact, the broadcast you're listening to is made using a Hamilton Stage Rocker mic stand. Visit HamiltonStands.com. And Oralex Acoustics has one mission: to make you sound your best. Thousands of satisfied Oralex customers have experienced improved acoustics, along with free expert advice. Total sound control products from Oralex enjoy widespread use among prominent artists, producers, engineers, and corporations worldwide. Remember, it's not your gear, it's the room. Visit Oralex.com for more information. And great audio starts with great gear, and Zoom's 30-year reputation promises quality and affordability. Visit zoom-na.com today for recorders, audio interfaces, effects pedals, and more. We're Zoom, and we're for creators. It's Ellis and Peggy, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you've written a book now. From what I understand, The Potter and the Clay is popular in prisons, too, is that right?
Well, it is, and it's been... Boy, it's prisons and rescue missions and rehab centers and county jails and, you know, in several different states and just more of them going out all the time.
Well, I just want to read from the back of the book. It says, Ellis Lucas saw no hope of salvation or meaning in life or the world around him. Isolation, uncontrollable anger and violence, abandonment and feeling unwanted describes a lost and broken Ellis. Inebriated by drinking from the deceptive cisterns and poison waters of this passing age, his life would spiral into years of addiction, a violent car wreck, almost losing his life in a house fire, mounting debts, jail, a broken marriage, and eventually a single choice, life or death. And as he was ready to surrender, only then did he begin to see the signs around him, even in the cat he swore he'd kill. There's a story behind that. And that there was a purpose and promise. So the power of a testimony, and we're going to talk about that cat too, because that's a big part
okay.
of it.
Yeah.
And trying to kill the cat. What kind of...
Read the book.
Yeah, in the book. And so that's right. Read the book, The Potter and the Clay. And so what kind of response do you get when people hear your testimony? And could you just give us just a little bit of a summary?
Well, normally people are, you know, the most often asked questions I get from the media is, Ellis, how do you get in these? How does somebody get in that kind of shape to begin with? And really, it's easy to get there. But what do you do when you get there? I mean, there's millions of people out there across the country right now that are, you know, in bondage to addiction right now, you know, and, you know, the Center for the Health and Human Services, they put out a report there in 2011 that there's $740 billion annually going out to, you know, to addiction. But the reaction to my story is, you know, it's how did you, how did this happen? You know, how do you go from here? And, you know, You know, people are looking for answers right now. They're hungry right now. People are broken in a million pieces around this country right now. And anyhow, a testimony like mine, you know, it's really been connecting and really hard with not just the addicts and people that are addicted and people that are in trouble or in a crisis in life, but with the families of the people that are there.
Yeah, that does take a toll because it relationship-wise, it affects everybody. So we take you back to the farm, okay? I guess you grew up on a farm, and you know, you talk about it and the fact that, you know, you were suffering from addiction. And
Yes, yeah, pretty much so.
Pretty scary, pretty graphic, you know, but it's real life where you find yourself in like a, you know, a heroin den or a crack house or things like that. And you know, the thing about it is that it's scary. You never get used to that, right? It's scary. It's like, even if you've been there, it's scary. And you felt like your life, you only had maybe, you know, a day or two left if you stayed.
Boy. Yeah. You know, and not only that, but by the time you realize that you have a problem and you're there, it's too late. You know, you're already in a vice. And you know, in the book I was writing, you know, I wrote about, you know, just the last final days before the Lord intervened into my life there. And it was scary. I mean, I could sense that, you know, my life was coming to an end, and I was terrified because, you know, and, you know, God says that I put in the heart of everybody. I put eternity in the heart of every man. And anyhow, it's just terrified of dying in that state, you know.
There you were. It reminds me of like the Shawshank Redemption. I mean, forgive me, but, you know, there you are. And you're thinking, well, I'm not supposed to be here. And but yet there was a comfort. At least you're out of that heroin den and crack house. And there you were. But then that's kind of where God had a little intimate chat with you. I mean, you know, and for him, it was the right place at the right time. And were to, you know, to finally come to the end of yourself. Tell us what happened in that jail cell.
Well, undoubtedly. And, you know, Michael, you know, for over two decades, I was literally convinced that, you know, Jesus Christ probably didn't even love me or didn't like me. I was really convinced that I just couldn't be saved. I mean, you know, it was one of those deals where every time another piece of my life would be ripped away from me and gone for good, you know, I'd cry out to Jesus. You know, everybody always said, Ellis, Jesus is the answer. He's the one that can turn this thing around. You know, you've got to let Jesus have control of this thing. But I would just cry out to him every time things were falling apart. And, you know, Jesus, if you're everything that everybody says you are, you know, why won't you help me? You know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was on March 6, 1997, you know, the first thing he said to me whenever in a jail cell was, Ellis, I love you. Yes. And I'm here for you. And I know your situation. I'm very concerned for you. And Ellis, you have a choice to make. You know, there's one thing that the Lord can't do for us. The only thing he can't do for us is choose, you know, and it's a choice to either, you know, to either believe or not, you know, but since then, you know, of course, the Bible, the evidence is overwhelming, you
That's
know,
right.
it's mm-hmm. overwhelming, but, you know, just the thought of growing, you know, older and older and literally being convinced that there was no hope for salvation for me. It's a very desperate life. It's, you know, you're living in fear and it just, you know, it just takes over after a while and to find out that everything I was convinced of during that time was all just a lie. It's just life shattering for me. And, you know, after everything I'd done in my life, and, you know, the biggest question I had was, Lord, you know, why would you even come down here to, you know, why would you even bother with someone like me? And I said, because I love you. It's just that plain and simple, you know. And of course, you know, he offered, of course, Lord, he told me that, you know, Ellis, I have a plan for your life, you know. Well, in my book, you know, I document the whole story. You know, I was had been at a meth house there, staying for 6 days. I was homeless and, you know, I got raided by the Kansas City SWAT team.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you had word of that. You said in the book that you had word that they were coming in a couple. I don't know how you knew that, but they were I don't know. I think you wrote that you had a sense that they were coming.
You know, I did. Every day I had this incredible sense going on. I mean, it was almost like there was a voice saying, "Ellis, you got to get out of here. Something's happening. Something's coming. You got to get out of here." And every day I was working night shift, and then I'd get off in the mornings, and I was planning on getting my things and going. And man, I just get down there and you know, wind up not doing it, you know. And then finally on that sixth morning, it was March 6th. I'd been there 6 days, and that, you know, that morning I was serious. I was getting my things and going. I just went to the back bedroom to gather a few things and laid down for a couple minutes, and it sounded like an explosion went off there when they broke into the house.
Yeah, but, right in there.
You know, there was a real message in that, though, that the Lord really, through that whole deal, you know, he planted the seeds for evangelism there. And, you know, he said, "Ellis, you know, you got a second chance." And, you know, there are tons and tons of, there are millions of people out there every day that are going to get their lives right. They know in their hearts they need to get things squared away with me.
Right.
And yet they continue to procrastinate and they continue to put it off. And imagine the horrors of all these people waking up, breathing that last breath, and then waking up on the wrong side of eternity there, in the wrong side of eternity, and realizing there's nothing they can do to change their fate now.
That seems to be something that you mentioned in your book, and that you have a heart for, is you know, it kind of like that weeping prophet for people who are going to go to hell, and which is a real place, and because the Bible says it, right? And we believe, and that settles it. Okay, so that's for. I mean, you know, it's in your heart to warn people about that, and so it sounds like. You know, just a scare tactic, but, you know, it's not. There's, you know, a real place that comes from. And so you had, you know, the opportunity to not follow or to listen. And so, I mean, pretty amazing what happened, because, you know, you were looking at, to my estimation from the book, about 14, 15 years in prison or something like that. I don't know what it was, but you thought you were going to spend a good long time. And then all of a sudden you had a voice from God speak to you. Was it his voice, or did you just a sense, or it was just, you know, either way, you know, I think,
you know,
he didn't communicate either way. And he's like, you know, "Ellis, you're not going to be here, very long." And so what a comfort that is. I mean, you know, when he wants to communicate, he can and will and does.
I was, I don't know how many steel doors we passed through, but during that time there, it seemed like a long time, but I was just, you know, I knew that this was serious stuff, that we were in big trouble. And I was just trying to think, who could I even call, you know? And, you know, I'd sat there for, it seemed like hours on end, just trying to think who I could even talk to, who I could call. And, you know, I couldn't think of a single human being left on this planet anywhere, you know, that even liked me, let alone somebody that could help me in this situation. You know, 4.5 months into it, you know, we got a call. My dad got a call at the farm, and it was my lawyer down in Kansas City wanting us to come to Kansas City. Immediately, he wanted to talk to us, and he wanted us there in person. And I thought, boy, this doesn't sound good. So we went down there, and we walk in there, and they take us into a conference room there, and there's a bunch of guys in suit and ties. And, you know, I thought, boy, this don't look good at all. But they said, we want you to sit down here a little bit. We want to talk to you because, you know, we don't understand this, because we don't have all the information. And furthermore, I don't think they even understand it, but they're dropping all charges on Ellis because they don't have any evidence on him. They couldn't find a single fingerprint of his in that house. And so anyhow, you know, people all the time, they've got this idea that they have a disease, an incurable disease. And anyhow, I want them to know that, you know, what they see as a disease, I see it as, you know, incredible weapon of, you know, just a means of helping other people. You know, they don't see the, you know, they don't see outside of the box. And I like to you know, explain to them my whole situation, how everything I went through back in those days there, that whole 24 years of addiction and nearly losing my life and so on. You know, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today, married to Peggy. And, you know, that, you know, what Satan had meant for evil, you know, God had definitely plans for using for good all that time. And, you know, when you look back through the Bible at the demoniac and, you know, so many people, you know, there's a lot of people that wasn't, you know, the likely candidates to go out and turn the world upside down for Jesus, you know, and stuff there. But so I try to refocus the way people think about themselves in those situations.
Well, there are people who are suffering from addiction, any kind of addiction. And we're going to, you know, of course, talk a little bit more about your testimony, your story there. You want to go to ellislucas.com. That's Ellis Lucas, ELLISLUCAS.com. And, you know, the story. So once your life became clean, take us from that point, because I know you met your wife, Peggy, and there's a love story in the book as well, as you say, a Christian love story. So,
yeah.
So once you're out of jail, and, you know, I know this is kind of the short version here, if you will, but tell us what happened once you you knew that you were called of God.
Well, I knew that it was a genuine encounter with the Lord when, you know, when they dropped all the charges, just like, you know, the Lord said they were going to do. And, boy, life started steamrolling, because it wasn't just that I wasn't going to prison. You know, I had an IRS debt there, $41,000. And, you know, there was a whole number of things. And I just, you know, I had every reason to book why I couldn't, you know, live the life that the Lord was telling me that he had for me. And from a humanity standpoint, it's just hard to imagine the things that God did in my life, you know, and stuff. And even looking back, Peggy and I was just going over some of this stuff the other day, just looking back over some of the things that he had did. And, you know, he said, the Lord said that, Ellis, you're not going to prison. I have a plan for your life. And then the first thing was, you know, I was worried about my job and, you know, Lord, this will be, you know, how am I going to explain this? And he just, don't worry about it. Because he said, not only will you not lose your job, but you'll be number one at work if you trust me. But, you know, during that time, though, God started building up this ministry kind of mysteriously around me, because I was being invited all over Northwest Missouri. And I'd been in 11 different jails, 11 different county jails, you know, for fighting. And just so I was known for all the wrong reasons. But when I became a Christian, it was big news, and people just, they couldn't, you know, they couldn't believe it, you know, and stuff. So I was being invited all over the country up there to just churches, and we put this little band together and stuff. And this thing just continued to grow. And over the course of about 7 years, you know, we were doing that back in Missouri. And Peggy, you know, one day, I kept talking churches out of paying this, you know, they kept trying to want to give us gifts for coming. And I kept telling them, I couldn't do that. I couldn't charge you for, you know, for coming out and sharing what God's done. And then Peggy, you know, she said, Ellis, do you know, I think God I think this is a ministry here. I think God is doing something, and I think he's trying to provide for it, and you keep getting in his way there. So
I want to say something too, because he forgot to mention something that I think is pretty important. But right when he starts talking to Jesus, he heals him instantly on the spot.
Yes.
Of 24 years of addictions. Boy, that he started at age 11.
Oh my goodness.
So, yes. So at age 11, all these addictions started in. And so I think that's a pretty significant thing that you.
Well, it's a huge thing there, Michael. You know, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there right now with mental illness and fighting different things. And, you know, I was looking at the, you know, today, just some of the numbers and stuff there, but it's all drug related and stuff there. And boy, you know,
overdoses and you know, someone goes out, like a son, daughter, the you know, parents don't know if they're going to see him again.
And my story looks identical to the one in the Mark chapter 5 with the demoniac, you know, where the Lord comes over and he goes all the way out of the way for this one person that's just demon possessed. The demoniac was demon possessed, and he was just, you know, but there's so many parallels right there, you know, and stuff there that, because, you know, the minute the Lord healed me, I mean, I was totally in my right mind. I was the person I am today. And that's the thing that really haunted my dad. And 9 years after, I was saved. We went to my hometown and put on a big event up there, and my dad got saved there at that weekend at that event. And my whole family is saved now. My
wonderful
sister, the youngest out of the three, there just got saved, and she came to one of our events last year out here in Colorado, and she was the last one of my immediate family here.
And so, just for those people listening not familiar, of course, saved from what?
Well, it is, the Bible says that we are dead, literally dead in our trespasses, in our sins. And, that we remain there until we are quickened in Christ, until the Spirit of God breathes new life into us as a new creation in Christ there. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that the old things have passed. You're a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. And when I say saved, that, there's only two choices, Michael, that we have in this planet. One is to place our trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ and enter into eternal life, or the Bible says that, we will perish, that we'll spend eternity separated from God from ever, but it wasn't just a salvation experience. It was a total, brand new me. It was a brand new life. It was God demonstrating a power on my behalf, to rebuild and restore my life to extents that I had never even imagined in my life ever before. And better than it was before. And I mean, it's a power. It's a life with a purpose and a real power and a meaning. And then, this book that you've got there, I didn't write that with intending for it to be a book. That was a letter to my son. I had snapped my Achilles tendon and my calf muscle, and I was writing this to my son, who was struggling a lot in life and had a lot of issues. And it just turned out to be a long letter, but I don't think I could have been really that transparent and if I would have knew it was going to be published in across the country. But but boy, we've met people, Michael, that's read this book and literally got delivered from alcohol and stuff. They read that story, and we've had people call and want to meet with us, and we've had people.
And there are millions.
Populated churches all over.
Millions and millions and millions. I mean, every commercial is about, they have a lot of commercials about drug rehab and everything. And so the book you're talking about, I'm sure people would want to get it, especially if they're a parent and they're a son or daughter who suffers from addiction or they themselves. But it's called The Potter and the Clay. Yeah. And the story and testimony of Ellis Lucas, hard-pressed on every side but not destroyed. Ellis was featured on Unshackled, that famous television, I keep saying TV, but radio program, where people share their testimonies. And so how did you get picked for that? You just sent your testimony in and they grabbed it, huh? Because a lot of...
No, there was a lady at our church that, had read my story there and stuff, and she knew somebody at Unshackled and passed it on to them, and they called me on my cell phone and asked me if they could do my story. And so anyhow, they did a two-part, 30-minute segment each there, and then they called and did a 30-minute, show on Peggy's life there based on what I wrote about her in the book.
Wow. So let me just say, people are listening right now and their life may be a mess, a drug addiction, and God knows where they may be. They could be in a crack house right now, listening on a laptop or, could you lead them right now in prayer to receive Jesus as you did?
Oh, absolutely. I could. And by the way there, Michael, they can just Google Ellis Lucas on Unshackled or Peggy Lucas with an I on Unshackled, and that'll pull them right up there, and they can still listen to them today over their computer there. But yes. Well, Father, Lord, we're living in a day and age right now where spiritual deception, Lord, is swirling all around all of us right now like a great cloud of confusion and darkness, Lord, and people don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do, Lord, right now, Father. And Lord, Father, there's so many people out there right now that are broken up in a million pieces, Lord. Either they found themselves, you know, bound up in some vice themselves, Lord, or one of their loved ones. But Lord, you know, our world is in crisis right now, Lord. Nothing short of in crisis, Lord. But, you know, Father, I have learned that the truth will set you free. That, Lord, that everything that we understand about life, Lord, is, Father, subject to your command, Lord. And Lord, there is absolutely no human life out there beyond your infinite passion and desire to love and to know, Lord. And there's no situation, no pain, sin, or failure beyond your ability to forgive, heal, and restore, Lord, if we are willing to come to you, Lord, in true brokenness and true humility, in repentance, Lord, and humble ourselves, Lord, and commit our ways to you. And trust you, Lord, through the ebb and flow seasons of life, Lord, as you create us, as you mold us into the people that you've created us to be, Lord. And I lift up all the listeners of Michael's program here to you today, Lord, because, Father, Lord, I know that, Father, that, Lord, Lord, they're searching for answers, many of them, Lord. And I just pray that, Lord, that you would do as you've done for me, that, Lord, you would meet them in the middle of their world right now, Lord, and just, Lord, extend to them the same mercy, the same grace that you did to me, Lord. And I pray that, Father, you would set the captives free, Lord, once again, Lord. And we just lift all of them up today to you in the precious name of Jesus for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Ellis Lucas, his story, how do you place God in your heart when you never believed? He was there from the start, like a lot of people who are going their own direction and coming to the end of themselves. It could be addiction. That's certainly where, you know, your emphasis is in your book, The Potter and the Clay. Ellis Lucas, hard pressed at every side, but not destroyed. Once again, the website is ellislucas.com. And people who have problems with addiction, please go to that website. I could feel that it was like your love letter to God and really... Yes. As far as pulling you out of the depths of despair. And it's something when God reaches in into this world where there's sin, death, and hell, and people are in incredible, like you said, strongholds, that it's amazing that he can go into those dark places, the places that you know, we feel so ugly, so undesirable, so unreachable, and he can wash us whiter than snow. And the power of the blood of Jesus and the power of your testimony, and God says it, that there is a power in the testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And Ellis, your testimony has reached a lot of people and continue to do so. The Potter and the Clay. Ellis, Peggy, thank you for being on the program.
God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you. Our sponsors, with over 90 years' experience in developing audio electronics, Beyer Dynamics stands for innovative audio products with the highest sound quality and pioneering technology. Two business divisions, consumer and installation, provide tailored solutions for professional and private users. All products are developed in Germany and primarily manufactured by hand, from headphones to microphones and conference and interpretation systems. For more information, please visit north-america.beyerdynamic.com. And by Vocal Booth To Go, carries a complete line of products and accessories specifically designed for voiceover actors, audio professionals, podcasters, producers, and studio owners to help them get professional results for their clients. It's your go-to place for sound treatment, soundproofing, portable and mobile vocal booths. Visit VocalBoothToGo.com for more information. And by Hamilton Stands, founded in 1883 in Hamilton, Ohio, Hamilton Stands is the oldest music and instrument stand maker in the world. They offer a broad range of sheet music stands, band and orchestra instrument stands, and combo stands, including mic stands, guitar and keyboard stands, and accessories. In fact, the broadcast you're listening to is made using a Hamilton Stage Rocker mic stand. Visit HamiltonStands.com. And Oralex Acoustics has one mission: to make you sound your best. Thousands of satisfied Oralex customers have experienced improved acoustics, along with free expert advice. Total sound control products from Oralex enjoy widespread use among prominent artists, producers, engineers, and corporations worldwide. Remember, it's not your gear, it's the room. Visit Oralex.com for more information. And great audio starts with great gear. And Zoom's 30-year reputation promises quality and affordability. Visit zoom-na.com today for recorders, audio interfaces, effects pedals, and more. We're Zoom, and we're for creators.